Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Revelation chapter 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it. And he is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly in mid-heaven, Come, assemble for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of commanders and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and those who sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free and slaves, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. But the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs by the beast's authority, with which he deceived all who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were thrown alive into the lake of the fire, which burns with burning sulfur. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy Monday reading, huh? We have the final end in the sight of God being portrayed before us. This is how it will happen. This is the end of all of the false claims of those who say, you better change your mind and side with us, or you'll be on the wrong side of history. They'll find out that history is actually his story, the story of the Lord, not the future of their own perceptions or schemings or aspirations. They'll find that his story is the story of salvation, of one who would give his life into death rather than lose his children. We see that his story is the final fulfillment of his promise in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, where he said, let them grow side by side together, lest the wheat be uprooted when you root out the weeds. Let evil coexist with good for a while, so that we don't cause any to be lost. Because his goal was always that none of those who had been given him would be lost. And if in uprooting the evil, the good also suffered or perhaps perished, that would be against what he was there for, against why he had come. But the day is over, and now comes the harvest. The Lord will gather into his barns all the faithful and send his holy angels to do the reaping. And finally, all of the false claims that have been going on throughout our lives will be shown to be lies. All of the things that scared us because they were too big for us, they were too strong for us, they were too amassed against us. I mean, honestly, how in the world were we ever supposed to make war against an eternal being, an archangel, Lucifer, who deceived our first parents and has deceived every generation since, who has thousands upon thousands of generations of experience tempting and knowing what causes people to fall, of assembling kingdom after kingdom after kingdom by getting people to give up their birthright, hoping that they're going to get a little security or a little power or a little something. And having promised them security and power, those children who gave it up deserved neither and lost both. Every generation has faced it, and so do we. You hear the claims of those who say they have power and authority, that they have insight and wisdom. And you hear the claims of their false prophets who are really just speaking with the devil's voice, who provide proof of what they say over and against the Word of God. But how do they possibly think that they're going to win in the end? Did you notice that at the end it says that the Word of God, Jesus Himself, sitting upon the horse, is going to fight against them with the word of His mouth, with a two-edged sword that comes from His mouth? I want you to think about the implications of that. He spoke them into existence. We are nothing but the vibrations made whole of the voice of God. How in the world do we think that we can oppose Him and win? How in the world do we think that we can oppose Him and even exist when it's His very voice that gives us life and peace and existence? And how did we ever fear that our enemies would overcome us? Don't fear him who can kill the body, Jesus said, but fear him who can throw body and soul into hell. There is a lot to be afraid of. I can't outsmart the devil. He knows more than me. He's stronger than me. The only thing that keeps him from completely overwhelming me and the rest of the church is the fact that the Lord has restrained him and that the Lord is protecting us, watching over us, feeding us with His Word, feeding us with His grace, feeding us with His sacraments, keeping us whole, protecting us by the ministry of His holy angels. But I watched the world going to hell, quite literally, and I watched those I love who are caught up in the effluence of the devil's vomit from chapter 12. I fight and I pray for them. But my tools feel so weak, so imperfect, so incomplete. All I have is words. All I have is pleadings. All I have is prayers. Where is the evidence that it's enough? Where's the evidence that it'll work? This isn't just some exercise in mental gymnastics where I wonder how I'm going to win a game. This is about the people I love. This is about my family. This is about my friends. This is about the people that I cannot imagine spending eternity without. And they are so caught up in this world and so lost in this world and so afraid of the power structures that they see assembled in front of them. They don't know how they're ever going to live without them. They bend their will to the will of those powers. They bend their will to the will of the media, which tells them that the traditional truths that you hear out of society are just oppressive realities born out of patriarchalism or whatever other evil they want to point to. And so those I love reject the truth. What tool do I have? What hope do I have that they'll hear my voice, that they'll listen to me against such rage, against such powers, against such a vast assembly? Just this. I know the end of the story. It's written large right here. Jesus does not lose. Jesus and his people do not lose. And did you notice how much all of the fighting against him accomplishes? Nothing. They don't even get into the battle. I always get amused when people talk about the Battle of Armageddon, for example, which is earlier in the book, and they say, oh my goodness, it's going to be such carnage and such warfare. And I hear some of the uninstructed say, oh, it's going to be terrible. There are going to be blood flowing up to the bridles of the horses and so on. You read in the book about the Battle of Armageddon, it's not an event. They assemble together and Jesus comes back and it's over. No battle at all. Not a single sword gets drawn. Because it was never about whether Jesus would win or lose. It was about where the fight would end. And it ends where he declares it will end. And he, throughout the history of the world, who has fought for his people, who has died for his people, who has brought his word to save his people, who has engaged his angels to protect his people, will not allow a single one that was given to him to be lost. And those that I'm afraid I'm insufficient to save, I'm right. But he's not. And if the word I speak is his word, it overcomes kings and demons and the devil himself. And that word is more powerful than I ever give it credit for, because it's the very word which spoke me and you and everything we see into existence. And if it can speak that into existence, it can create faith and life and hope and strength and joy and eternity. For you, for me, for those we love. As we face these days, the fears are no less real. We have terrible diseases raging around the world. What do you know? It's in the book. We have kings of the earth claiming that they're really in charge. What do you know? It's in the book. We have people saying, you don't understand the science behind it. God's word is a lie. What do you know? That's in the book too. In the end, God's word stands. Because we're told how it ends. God wins. And God wins in his mind because he saves you and me and those for whom he died, those whom the Father had given him from the foundations of the world, those he loves, his children, his baptized, his church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the Texas District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for the short-term volunteers assisting with the Latin America retreat. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.